Good evening, everyone. So, yeah, nice to meet all of you tonight. So tonight I would like to talk about to develop this positive attitude. And I remember in one of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha mentioned about the three types of people. And the first type of people, the anger, they're like writing on the water, you know. And then the second type of people, when the anger, they're writing on the sand. And the third type of people, they engrave it under the stone. You know, it's very, they carry grudges, you know. They cannot let it go, and they got very angry, get very upset. But actually, when we look at it, you know, when we're upset with other person, who is the one who suffer? We are the one who suffer, isn't it? It's not the other person is going to suffer. It's we ourselves, you know. I remember when I was young, I don't know how it's come about. I've developed this kind of attitude. Like, I normally do not choose to remember. I didn't choose to remember the thing that make me unhappy. Because to me, I was thinking, if it's going to make me unhappy, why I want to remember that and make me upset, you know? So usually sometimes like even people be nasty, say something very nasty to me, then I keep telling myself I'm supposed to be angry. Now, of course, that moment I was angry, you know, but very quick, I forgot. And then the next day, I start to talk to that person again. Then afterwards, I tell myself, oh, I'm supposed to be angry when I'm talking to that person, you know. So it's important that, you know, like you don't hold on to that, because we have to ask ourselves, is it going to bring us happiness? It's not that I've been denied, you know, that I it's things that make me unhappy, you know, that I'm not going to carry that with me. So if things are going to make me happy, you know, sometimes it's nice to remember the good things, you know, the happy moments, and make me happy. So I said, why I'm so stupid to keep holding on to things that make me unhappy? So that's why I have that attitude even when I was very young. And of course, when I grown up, I think that this is, I think that this is a weak point of me. Because I thought that, you know, because sometimes people told me that, you know, you people take advantage of you, yeah, you know, and you should be protect yourself. And, you know, in the world, they take this as a weakness, you know, when you forgive easily and you just, you know, you just don't carry the grudges. People think that you're weak. And I then, you know, this is how when I grow up, the world told me that. Then I said, oh, I think I should protect myself. I know at some stage that I used to protect myself like someone don't know me. I remember when I was in Thailand, someone don't know me, you know. Then I tried to protect myself. I don't talk much to her. And then she get to know me. She said, I didn't know that you can tell jokes, you know. Because it's like you look so cool, you don't talk. Because I tried to protect myself. Then I told her that. She said, she said to me, actually, this is not a weakness. Actually, it's good. It's a good quality. Then I said, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that, you know. And because this we've been told, we think that, you know, in the world, we think that this is being weak, you know. You just don't get upset easily. Of course, I get upset, you know, I got angry. But I don't hold it too long. It's very quick, I forget, you know. So that's why to develop this right attitude, you have to base on the right understanding. So especially many people, when they come to Buddhism, if you understand the Buddha's teaching in the wrong way, have this wrong understanding, I can tell you, you go opposite. I have a friend, I remember, I know him long time ago, but I think about 20 years, I don't. That time that we used to, I met this person, is a couple, the husband, and then we usually a group. We used to gather together, we have Dharma discussion, and we meditate together. And when I first met this guy, he's very nice, very generous, you know, very nice guy, and very helpful. And then after many years, I haven't met him. And I was really shocked that he changed. He's not changed to better, he's changed to very selfish and always think of himself all the time. Like, to him, he believed that the practice is that he always only look at his tip of his nose, you know, whenever he do only this. So he said, I don't do work, because when I do work, and my focus gone. And if I do chanting, my focus gone. So he lived his life, he's always looking here all the time, you know. Then he spilled the water when he go to the temple, he spilled the water. He didn't drive it, he just walked through, because he didn't want to lose his breath. So he's just watching his breath, his nose, the tip of the nose all the time. I mean, this kind of understanding. He was a really nice guy before that, very helpful, very generous. And he becomes so selfish, you know. And then he himself will spill the water. And someone have to clean it up for him. He just walked past. He said, I don't want to lose my focus, my concentration. I don't know what kind of understanding he has, you know. Like, after practicing, it's getting better, he's getting worse than before, you know. And then he's become very, he's a fault-finding mind, telling that he criticized all the monks, fault-finding this monk, that monk, how they misbehave, they don't behave well, and all the negative things about all the monks, you know. Then he said one word that all of us look at him. He said, this is the reason why I don't want to become a monk. So we said, so we all said, we look at each other. He said, the other monk, others monk misbehave, what to do with you? Isn't it? It's none of your business, isn't it? None of our business if others people misbehave. It's not our business. And he can say that I don't want to become a monk because of this monk misbehave. I mean, it's completely nothing to do with him. And the kind of, and then he really locked into his view, and his ego is so big that no one can tell him anything. He's really locked into that. He really locked himself into that. No one can say anything to him. Even sometimes other monks try to tell him, you know, try to point out, you know, to him. He got so upset. You know, so who wants to say anything? Because, isn't it? Because you lock yourself in, you know. That's like, it's very dangerous, because when we have this wrong understanding, and then we develop these wrong views, a particular views, that he believes that, you know, he will get enlightened sitting and meditate, and then he will just get enlightened like that. You know, meditation is only one part of the whole path, isn't it? It's not the whole thing, you know. They say, whatever practice that we take up, if we base on the wrong understanding, then we develop these wrong views. And it's worse than having defilements, I can tell you. It's just like, you know, because you wouldn't learn, you lock in. Like Angulimala, if some of you have read his story, his story, he's a killer, he's a severe killer. But because of after he listening to the Buddha's teaching, you know, so he developed, he practiced, he followed the path, he got enlightened. So don't worry about your angers, don't worry about your defilements. But the most important thing, not to lock yourself in, you know, into your own views and opinions. I know the best. You know, just recently someone just wrote me a letter, a long email. She cannot decide whether to take up, there's some monastic, international monastic training. So she's going to ask me whether worthwhile, do I know this particular nun, any comments, you know. So I told this person, I said, I met this nun before, but I don't know her personally. So I cannot comment and speak on something that I don't know. But I said, anyway, I encourage you to go, to visit, to have this open-minded, you know, be open-minded. It's okay to take part. I said, before I ordained, I've been travel. And stay in the monastery in Thailand, in various monastery. And I find that this is really helpful to me in my monastic life. You learn. You always can learn something from others. To be open-minded, you know, not to lock into say, oh, my tradition is the best, my way of practice is the best, or my guru is the best, no one else. Then we lock into that, you know. Then we don't learn, you know. Be open. I told her, I said, be open-minded. I said, you know, we can always learn something from others, you know. And because of lack of understanding, that's why we don't see things, we don't understand, you know, we don't understand, we don't see that it's a suffering, we don't understand. So there are always, you know, two ways of looking at things, depends on how you look at it, isn't it? And you can look at it, you know, like, depends on how you look at it. And I remember I saw one article, and this guy, he's really wise. He said it depends on how's the attitude, how you relate to things. He said even if I quarrel with my wife, you know, and have argument with her, and she got very upset, and she's really, you know, yelling at me and very upset, and then, you know, scolding me. So I just stand there and look at it and admire it. I say, oh, my wife is really cute. So this is how you look at it. You can look at it, you know, you can admire, you know. So it's okay. Even if you've got a bossy wife or bossy husband, it's fine. You can, oh, isn't it cute, you know. It depends on how you look at it, isn't it? You can always look at it in a positive way or in a negative way. It depends on your mentality, your attitude to look at things. So talk about this a bossy wife. And I remember there was a man that he married to a wife that is, his wife is really bossy. So until the point that he had enough. So he said, I have to see the psychologist. I have to go to see psychiatrist. You know, I need counseling. I can't take anymore. I can't bear anymore. So when he went for this counseling, so the psychologist told him that, you know, you have to be more assertive. So next time, become more assertive. Yeah, too soft. So give him the book of how to develop this assertiveness, become assertive, you know. So on the way back, he read the whole book, you know, to be assertive. So the moment he arrived home, he stormed into the house, you know, he pointing finger to the wife, you know. From today onwards, I am the master of this house. I am the owner. My words is a command. You have to listen to me. So tonight, I order you, you're going to make me a gourmet meal and followed by a sumptuous dessert and draw me a bath so that I have a nice hot bath, and you're going to dress me. Guess who is going to comb my hair? The wife said, the funeral director. So sometimes, like, you know, people come to me like sometimes, like, just like these few days or so, we have people come to me with marriage problem. And sometimes when I speak to them, I said, before you married, to you, is your husband or your wife is just like that? He said, yes, it's just, you're really new, you know? What do you expect, you know what I mean? But somehow people have that kind of wishful thinking, you know, that they have the power, they can control, they can change, you know, the husband or their wife to the way they want it to be. They try to shape them, you know. They think that they have the power. I can tell you, it's difficult enough to change our whole old habits, isn't it? You think we can change others? It takes time, isn't it? It's not easy. It's difficult enough to change myself. You know, I used to, for example, it's just my habit. I used to talk very fast. So I have to always reminding myself because it's my habit. It takes me a long time to change. And I find myself sometimes also I'm a bit fast as well. But whenever I remember, I slow down. But sometimes it's so ingrained, you know. The habit is so ingrained. It's not that, yes, I really want to change. But it's very difficult. It's not easy. So it's difficult enough, isn't it, to change ourselves. And then we want to change others. No. So because the reason the Buddha said, why we suffer? Because we don't understand. We don't understand life. We don't understand nature of all things. If you understand, this is just the nature. You don't upset, you don't get angry, isn't it? For example, if someone yell at you, saying nasty thing to you, and later you found out, oh, that person is just a bit crazy. It doesn't bother you, isn't it? Isn't it? But you, if you don't know that person is just crazy, then you go back, you say, why this person yelling at me? And this person said this nasty thing to me? And then your mind go on and on for a few days. You know? You can't let that go. But you know, it's just the nature of that. But if you don't see, don't understand, this is just nature of all things. You know? What do you expect? You know? They said, this is part of life. You know, we cannot always happy all the time. Can you, anyone here tell me that you never have painful feelings, never suffer, you're happy all the time? Anyone have that experience? No one has that experience, isn't it? Sometimes we think there is something wrong with us when we feel sad. You know, and when we feel depressed, we think that is wrong. We think that there is a problem. So, being sad or sometimes being depressed is not a problem. The problem is we think that being depressed is a problem. That's why we suffer. So we just understand, because the Buddha said, that's why we have to understand our suffering. Don't try to solve your problem. Don't try to solve that. You can't solve it. And don't try to get rid of it. You cannot get rid of it. You have to understand life, understand the nature of all things. You understand this life, you know, is, we are no one in this world going to live forever. We're going to grow old, we're going to die, we're going to get sick. That is natural. But is it amazing, you know, a few days, I think a couple of weeks ago, someone speak to come to speak. She come to speak to me, and she said to me, "Oh, so and so having this illness. Is it because of the past karma and this and that? And maybe this person in the past doing this and that. They said in this life you got this illness." I said, "Stop that." I said, "If you keep thinking like that, this is just speculations. No one knows." I said, "The fact that having this body, you're bound to get sick." I said, don't go into all these things. I said, you drive you nuts. Don't go into, you know, thinking of how he got this sickness and illness and things like that. That is part of life, you know. So what do you expect, isn't it? We no one is going to live forever. We're going to die, you know. And this is important. We understand that, you know, how you look at things. If you understand life, you suffer less. So, and today another couple come to speak to me, and they're from India. And they say, oh, they've been go through many, lots of difficulties in life and things like that. They want to speak to me. I said, you're not the only one. I said, we all have difficulties in life. I said, that is part of life. I said, when you're born into this world, you experience happiness, you experience painful feelings. You know, even you have happiness, the happiness also go. The happiness cannot stay, isn't it? So at the end of the day, is it matter? Whether, you know, is even unpleasant feeling, suffering will pass. I said, because you don't understand. If you understand the nature of things, you suffer less. You don't hold on to that, expect something else, you know. I remember recently, I saw an article that there was a lady, you know, she had this plastic surgery. She spent about 800,000 to do the to have this plastic surgery. And she, until the point that so much of all the silicone on the face, like she can't smile, you know, cannot smile. So then she has to do a operation, a surgery that to make her lips go this way. So whenever she's not smiling, also she's smiling. She's, it's just, you see, I mean, people don't accept that reality. We still grow old. No matter how many times we're going to do facelift, you know. We still grow old, we still die. You know, the inside the body, you know. And how come we do not get sick? So I laugh. I say, you know, of course we get sick, you know. And sometimes people think there's something wrong if I get sick. And then they don't accept that, you know. So think that, oh, don't talk about it, you know. If you talk about it, you know, the thing that you know, doesn't mean that you don't talk about death, you're not going to die. Isn't it? You're still going to die. That is the reality. So that's why Buddhism is not pessimistic. We make the most of it while we got it. When we still, life is very precious. You know, in Buddhism, we treasure life. Life is precious. You know, being alive. You know, this is how you look at it. You know, to develop this positive attitude to look at things in a positive way. So no one is perfect. You see, but the problem is, you know, if people always like to focus on the shortcoming, isn't it? If someone has 60%. Is already very good, isn't it? But most people don't focus on the 60%. They focus on the 40, isn't it? Yet, you know, how much they have achieved, how much we got, we never look at that. We always look at that. We always look at that. So the same thing. So if we want to focus on the shortcoming of others, you're bound to suffer and you develop that negativity. So if you look at the goods in others, you feel happy, isn't it? Because you look at the good things, and then at the same time, when you focus on the good of others, you develop that qualities. You know, that's the wholesome qualities, and we are happier. It's not that we're being denied. You know, you can choose to keep focusing on how bad the person is and got miserable and upset. And you also can choose to look at the good in others and you rejoice in the good qualities of others. And you're happy. You have this mudita, you rejoice in the goodness of others. And you develop this quality as well. And this way is not to, sometimes we don't understand that it's just the nature of all things. It's nothing wrong with us. And our problem is not out there. You have to look at how we relate to things. It's not what happened to us is important, you know. So I remember recently when I went to Taiwan. So we had some Dharma sharing with Mahayana temple. This is the first time I went to this temple. And this temple, she's the master of this temple. She's a very senior nun. She ordained in 1965 when I was only 5 years old. So she's a very senior nun, experienced nun, and she had many branch monastery. And she spoke to me. She said, "What makes you to take up this responsibility? You know." To have a monastery, you know, to look after all the nuns, you know, to do all this job, you know. It's not easy. It's a big responsibility. So then I told her that, you know, it's, to me, depends on how you look at it. Because if you understand that, because I said the moment, you know, I take up this position, I have to expect that I'm going to experience criticism, complaints, you know. That is part of that. I cannot expect that, you know, I got praise all the time. You know, especially, you cannot please everyone, isn't it? Then I said, I don't take it too seriously. I said, you know, I can only do my best. If people expect more from me, I'm sorry, this is what you get. Isn't it? I can't be more than what I can do, you know. I can only do that much, then that much. You know, that's why it's very important to be just, be honest with yourself. You know, I can only do that much. So I said, you know, I said, I don't find it too difficult. I said, I never train the nun. They train themselves. You know, all I need to do is to give them the guideline, give them the support, give them the encouragement, up to them. You know, they are not doing, their practice is not their practicing for me. You know, they're practicing for themselves. It's not that they practice and I got enlightened. Isn't it? So, that's why you have to understand this is nature of the job, you know. It's not about me, you know. We don't take it personally. Whoever in this position, you get it, you know. You got criticized. For example, I remember someone asked me when I was in Singapore. She said, how could you do that? Like you can give a talk. You can just talk, and you don't have to look at papers and things like that. How can you do that? You don't feel nervous. So I said, because if you come with the big ego, sense of self, thinking that I'm today I'm going to give a great talk, I'm going to impress everybody, and everybody will like my talks, I said, then you're bound to suffer. I said, I don't worry about that. I remember when I was in Malaysia and they arranged a public talk. And then they said, the public talk, they said, no Q&A. You know? So I said, it's all right. I'm okay with Q&A. I said, I'm not afraid of having Q&A, you know? I said, it's okay. Because someone asked me this question. If someone asks you something that if you cannot answer, so how do you feel? I said, I don't have all the answer for all the questions, you know. I said, see, if I don't know, I just said that I don't know. Just to be honest, why we create that suffering for ourselves, isn't it? So I know if there is half of the audience here benefit from my talks, I'm very happy. If only 20% and benefit and like my talks is okay. If no one like my talks is okay too, then I don't have to come here to give a talk. Then I can go back and meditate. I said, why sometimes we are the one. We create so much, we create that, we put on a lot of pressure on ourselves. We think that we have to be the best. Because I understand, it's just like an apple. No matter how perfect this apple is, no matter how juicy, how tasty this apple is, is it everyone is going to eat this apple? Everyone is going to like this apple? No, isn't it? There's still someone, not everybody like apples, you know? Someone don't like it. Not everybody like it. So, if I want everybody to like me and I cannot take criticism, then I'm bound to suffer. You know, so this way you have to understand that, then we suffer less. So don't try to solve the problem. We try to understand our problem. So I remember when I decided to become a nun. And I was, you know, I have a small business. And then because I stopped the business, then I still have those machinery that I'm not be able to sell it immediately. Then I have to pay renter to store that, you know. I'm not able to sell it, but I'm not doing any business anymore, but every month I have to pay renter. And my family is so worried about that. Then I was planning to go to Thailand. They said, and then my family said, what kind of person you are? You know, why you don't bother, you know, you haven't solved your problem now, you're planning to go to Thailand. Then I told my family, I said, at this moment, I haven't think of a way to solve my problem yet, I said. So if worry about it will help me to solve the problem, then I worry about it. So then I say, I can't think of anything, I just put it aside. Sometimes we don't have to. Sometimes we think that we got to solve the problem right now. No, sometimes we don't have to. You know, you haven't think of it. So then later my problem solved. Sometimes we think that this is a problem, I got to solve it now. No, we don't have to. So that's why the Buddha's teaching of the four noble truths, the first noble truth, the Buddha said, the first noble truth, the suffering has to be fully understood. So when you understand that this will lead me to suffering, we don't go there, isn't it? So actually, that is leading you to freedom, leading you to happiness when we understand suffering. So the reason why we suffer, because we don't see that it's just part of the nature. You know, we're going to die. So how many of you do you, I'm afraid of death too, you know. So because someone asked me, I said, I don't know, I maybe not, I don't know. Because until when at that moment I die, I can tell you whether I'm afraid of death, you know, isn't it? So sometimes we think we are not, isn't it? We think we are not, we are. So that is, we're going to face that one day, you know. So because thing is just, the Buddha is impermanent. Even our experience is impermanent. So things, happiness come and go, suffering come and go, even the fear come and go. I remember when I was in Thailand, in Malaysia. The first time I lived in the cave, I was so terrified. I was so scared. I was so fearful to the point that I couldn't, you know, I used the blanket to cover my face. The whole head, you know, I don't even dare to turn around because I was the first time and I hear like people coming towards me and stand there and looking at me. And I was shivering. I said, what am I going to do now? Then I remember there's a teaching the Buddha said, before the Buddha got enlightened. So he was a bodhisattva. So he said when he was in the forest, then fear arises. So he also has fear. Fear arises. So he said, if the fear arises that moment, if you are walking, you keep walking. If you are sitting, you continue sitting. You just remain that posture. So that time I was like that, covering my head. So I remained that posture. I didn't move. I do like that. So, that's how I can tell you, my fear gone up to the max. To the max. I was just like that. Then when my fear hits the max. The moment hits the max, it subsides. The fear just and that moment when that fear subsides, I was really incredibly peaceful. Very calm. Very peaceful. Because whatever they go to the max, they bound to subside. They said no one is happy, happy, happy. When the happiness subsides, the suffering arises. So when the suffering subsides, happiness comes again. You know? So if you understand that, you don't worry about that anymore. So because of that experience, that is really good experience, when the fear passed, because I faced it, I didn't run away. Because actually, it's come from, actually there is no one there. Because of the fear, and then started you have the suspicious that someone coming, then you interpret, you know, that the rustling of the leaves is like someone is walking towards you, but actually, you know, but this is how a lot of, we create lots of, you know, we reinforce that feeling. So, because when that thought arises, we thinking about it, we keep thinking about it, actually we are feeding, and the feeling becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. We become more and more fearful. Oh, this man is coming. Someone is coming. He's going to hurt me, you know. And you become more and more fearful. So, but actually, that experience really helps me a lot. Whenever fear arises, I know that it's going to pass. It's not going to stay there. So it will come and go. So they say you have to understand, when you understand that, you suffer less. So that's why, because of we don't understand, we don't see that. Because of course the fear is come from that I'm afraid to die, isn't it? Because I'm afraid that someone's going to hurt me. You know, that is, you know, we all, you know, because when you're facing something that is unknown, that is fear coming up. So we all going to get, oh, we're going to die. So that's why sometimes it's rather than we look at it, to understand it, you know, and prepare ourselves, you know, to face that moment to come. So we all have to face that moment. No one is going to live forever. None of us can live forever, you know. So we soon, you know, we don't know when we're going to die. Can be next moment, can be next day. So that's why it's important we look at it, we understand. Then we make the most of it while we still have it. So that's why it's important you look at this impermanent and contemplate on death. It's important. So that's why we don't know. For example, sometimes, like now, we meet each other here. We don't know whether we still meet again next time. No one knows. So that's why we become more appreciative, especially our loved one. Because sometimes we tend to hurt the one that we love most. Isn't it? Because we think that they're always forgive, they're always there. We hurt them so much. But it's good to let them know how much you love them, how much you really appreciate them. Because I remember when my father on his deathbed, and I just came back from Australia, and this is because the way we brought up my father is always like, you know, that is the one is like the hierarchy, you know, the one that, you know, then we always not very close to my father, and this is the first time I'm very close to him. I sat next to him. Then he's a good father. I mean, he's a responsible man. He look after the whole family. He work very hard. He's an honest man. But it's the only thing that I never close to him. But I'm so glad that I be able to sit next to him. So I sat beside him and I hold him. I said, "Dad, you are a wonderful father. You are a wonderful husband." I said, "I'm so grateful, I'm so fortunate that I have you as my father in my life." And the moment I said that, his tears just come down. And this is the first time I used the tissue paper to wipe his tears. But after that, I feel so good that I'd be able to say that. Because we take it for granted, we think that the person is always there. So that's why it's important, you know, the person that we love is not going to be there anymore, you know. So now talking something better, okay, give you a joke, okay. So this is talking about dead dates. So remind me of one of the jokes that this person, his name is called Marvin. So he's really quite ill. So he was in his dead bed. So the family's called the preacher to come to spend the last moment, you know, to spend time with him in his his final moment. So as the preacher go close to him, stood beside his bed, and it seems that certainly that his condition become, is get deteriorate, it seems to deteriorate, just suddenly, you know, his condition. Then he just motioned someone to get him a pen and a paper, a note. So this the preacher was so lovingly and kindly to hand him the notes and a pen. So then he writes something on the notes and pen. Before the preacher be able to look at the note, he's dead. So then he was thinking that maybe this is not the right time to read the note. So he's put the note into his pocket. So then he was thinking, you know, in a funeral. And then suddenly he remembered the notes, you know. Then he said, oh, by the way, you know, there's a note from Marlins, you know. So as all of you know him, it must be something very inspiring that we all can gain from. So he pulled out, put his hand into his pocket, he pulled the notes out, and he ripped out the notes, you know. Then he looked at the notes said, hey, you are standing on my oxygen tube. So yes, this is how we suffer less, you know, if we just direct our mind when we see that. So we make the most of it while we got it, you know. So that's why, so to develop this positive attitude, you know, you have to develop certain spiritual qualities. You have the spiritual qualities because the whole path of practice is not only like abandoning our defilements. So it's just like just now I already said, don't worry about your defilements. Having defilements is not a problem. Having anger is not a problem. But you have to develop these qualities. When you develop these spiritual qualities, then it's easier. Because until we got this quality, it's very difficult for us to let go. It's just like, for example, like we have two children, you see. Maybe one is smarter, one is less smart. So it's very difficult for us to say, in theory, we can keep telling us, oh, we accept, we just love him. I can tell you, if you haven't got the loving kindness, if you haven't developed the loving kindness, it's very difficult for you to accept, isn't it? Unless you have the loving kindness. If you don't have, you haven't developed that, it's very difficult to accept. You know, to love that person as the person is very difficult. Unless you develop that qualities. So in this whole path of practice, you have to develop this quality to put into practice. The first thing that you really have to develop your mindfulness and awareness to really know, you know, that the thought arises, you know, that is going to lead me to suffering. We reinforce that tendency. We knew that. So the first thing you have to develop this awareness, mindfulness, you know, the aware, to know that this is going to lead us to suffering. So that's like, it's a whole path of practice that actually is not easy, but it's possible, each one of us. So the Buddha's mentioned about there are four ways of progress. So the first way is that someone is by nature, they're very strong defilements. When you're strong defilements, you have more suffering, isn't it? Because of great hatred and delusion, because of greed, you know. If you can't get what you want, you get upset, you get angry, isn't it? So the defilements leads us to suffering. So then you have lots of suffering. If someone by nature has lots of very strong defilements, then they have more suffering. But the Buddha said, if someone even with very strong defilements, if the person willing to put into practice to develop these five spiritual faculties, that is to develop this faith, they have the faith, you know, to have the confidence in oneself that, yes, I'll be able to develop that. So actually, it's important. If we don't have the, especially the faith, the confidence in ourselves, it's very difficult. Because what's the point of practicing? Anyway, I can't do it, isn't it? So that's why it's important that you have the faith in oneself. So the energy, so have this energy, the effort, you know. Because when we have faith, actually, that gives rise to energy. Then there is happiness when we have energy. We feel happy, isn't it? When our energy low, we feel depressed, isn't it? When we have lots of energy, we feel happy. So when we're happy, then your mind become. Then you have to develop this mindfulness, because of happiness leads to you become bright. When you're happy, your mind is bright. You're more alert. That's why you will develop this mindfulness. So when your mindfulness is strong, then that is how you'll be able to focus much more. So that is the focus, that is the stillness. And with stillness, that is where your wisdom arises. So these five spiritual qualities, that is a faith, energy, stillness, mindfulness, stillness, and wisdom. So the Buddha said, this is the painful but fast. Even though you have lots of your defilements very strong by nature, but if you develop these spiritual qualities, and this, even though you suffer, but it's a fast one. The second one, that someone have by nature, they have very strong defilements. So of course you suffer so much, isn't it, when you have strong defilements, but they don't develop these spiritual qualities. So you don't have these spiritual qualities and you suffer. And because of you don't develop these spiritual qualities, it's slow. So this is the way that slow and you have a lot of suffering. The first one, fast, but you have lots of, you have lots of suffering, but you're fast. The second one, you're slow and you have suffered a lot. I think no one like that, isn't it? So that's like, and then the third one, sometimes someone by nature, the defilements is not very strong. They basically, they don't suffer as much, you know, they're quite mild manner, and basically, you know, but if they don't develop that, these spiritual qualities, and then this will be, is happier because this person is a less defilements, you know, by nature, but it's, even though it's a happy one, but it's slow. And then the fourth one is someone by nature that the defilements is less defilement, it's not so strong. Defilements is less. When you have less defilements, your defilements is not so strong, so you're happier. So if your defilement is strong, you suffer more. So this, because by nature, this person, if the people have less defilements, they're happier person. So happy. And then if you develop the spiritual qualities, it's a fast. So this is the best one, people like this, isn't it? Less suffering, happy, and fast. So that's why you can see, you know, having defilements is not a problem. So all you need to do is to develop your inner quality, your inner beauty. That takes you a long way. So I offer this for Dharma reflection. May this teaching be of benefit to all of you. Any questions or comments? Where is it? I just pressed on. Is it this one? So the first question, what is a good way to learn to be more open-minded, patient, and be nicer? To be more open-minded is like we don't hold on to our opinions and views so strongly. So we leave it open. We say, okay, I'm not sure. You know, we just see, we just give it a go and just leave it open. But not to hold on that, oh, my views is right, my opinion is right, I'm right. So whatever things that we see, we leave it open. So we give it the benefit of doubt, not to have this fault-finding mind. Then we become more open-minded, you know. Because sometimes we don't know what we see, sometimes might be not that, you know, sometimes like what we see in that moment might not be actually what is happening, isn't it? Sometimes we can be quite deceiving, you know, what we see. So not to latch on, to hold on to what we think, you know, that is right, definitely right, you know. So we leave it open. You know, we just leave things open. So yes, the person might be right, might be wrong, I don't know. So it's okay that we don't know. We don't have to know everything. And then patient, because this is a good way to be patient. Actually, it's the patient itself that, you know, you it's come from the wisdom, the understanding. Unless you understand, then you be patient, isn't it? So that is the patient has to come from the understanding of, you know, things. Okay, you know, I just have to endure. You know that this will pass. No, unless you have that understanding. So decide not to worry about that. This is a graduate training. You keep training yourself, and things happen by itself. These qualities, you know, it's just like when we develop these inner qualities, it's just like people going to gym to develop the muscles. You need to do that every day. You need to practice every day. You know, you keep your precept, to keep your precept, and to meditate, and to practice generosity. And you have to dig up the whole path of practice, and it's a gradual training. So I went to a monastery thinking of becoming a monk. However, when I spoke to the senior monk, he treated me with a real sense of superiority. I thought I would be really unhappy being in the same minds, try if I ordained, and so I gave up the idea. Is that wrong? Okay. Yes, this is not, I mean, that's not right or wrong, you see. This is the choice you make. But of course, sometimes, like for example, we have someone, if anyone to ordain, I normally ask them to really come and try and lead as a lay person to see whether this is for you, you know. And you might not think that this is really suitable for you. And sometimes you have to be ready, you know. Because I have seen some cases, like some people think that I've got to become a monk, I've got to become a nun. And sometimes when you're not ready, or you still have lots of attachment, you know, towards your family, you can't let it go. And sometimes, like, some people being in, even in ropes, they become more miserable than in lay life, you know. So, but I'm not saying, I'm not discouraging people to become monks or nuns, but sometimes that we just have to be more like, give it a go and see whether this is for you. It's just again, just be open and see whether this is really for me. And this is not right or wrong. I think that time because of, because of his, that he doesn't like the monks because I've got this superiority. That I don't know, maybe sometimes like it's just the way the person speak. You know, sometimes people just the way they speak, maybe they are not like that, you know, until you, like the Buddha said, unless you stay with the person, sometimes you can never tell, isn't it? Some people, you see what you get. Some people, you see them, you are not getting what you see, isn't it? So that's why you have to live with the person, you have to go there and see whether this is the right place for you. But it's okay. Sometimes, like, is not right or wrong. Because sometimes, in that situation, we can only deal with what we know, isn't it? So sometimes we have different level of understanding. So it's okay, it's already passed, you know, because that moment, this is all we know. We can only deal with the situation with what we know, isn't it? So it's fine. So not to worry about that, whether it's right or wrong, it's already passed. So this person can always try again, okay? Talking about acceptance, I seem to not have right views. The first step of the path, should I accept this or strive to change this? Is it even possible to develop this? Of course you can develop this, like just already said that, you can develop this. Of course the right views only come when you have the clarity of mind. The reason we don't see that, when we have the clarity of mind, when we develop the wisdom, then we can see things. That's like right view, that's like the whole path, you have to have a bit of wisdom. You have a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of, at least the clarity, be able to see that, oh, this is really leading me to freedom. So there's unless you have the awareness, you develop the awareness, you develop the mindfulness, so you have the clarity of mind, then you'll be able to see that. Of course it's possible if you develop that. You know, the wisdom only come when you have a peaceful and calm mind. It's just like we have clarity, isn't it? Sometimes when we are confused, you try to make any decision, you're not going to get anywhere, isn't it? Because we have the confused, the mind is really confused. But when we just put it aside and we find a place to try to make ourselves as peaceful as we could, and just very calm, make ourselves, you know, to calm ourselves down. And it's just naturally, you know the answer. You know what to do because you have clarity of mind. So that's why it is possible. But we have to apply the teaching into our life to put into practice. So it's possible to develop this. Okay, any questions or comments?
My first time to come this talk, I was really impressed by your wisdom. Thank you very much. The message I come out from today is that you're talking about the kindness and also understanding of the problems.
Mm.
You said that's the first thing. And also mentioned the passiveness of the Buddhism. I'm not in Buddhism, but I'm Chinese, so I grew up in that culture, and I always have this passiveness developing in that grew up in wisdom. So could you please elaborate more, give me more advice about how to become more positive instead of...
Okay.
So I think the passiveness of the Buddhism is not all the bad things.
I think... a lot of people think that because they don't understand, like for example, I meet so many people in the past, and I know some people said to me that they really don't like it when they first listen to the Four Noble Truths. The Buddha said, the first noble truth is suffering. The second noble truth is, that is the cause of the suffering. And the third noble truth is the cessation of suffering. And the fourth noble truth is that, the way leading out of suffering, that there is a way out. So because I think people have the misunderstanding that, when Buddhists talk about suffering, that we think that we have to suffer. So then a lot of people have this misunderstanding. They think that the Buddhism is very pessimistic. Like, it sounds pessimistic, but actually it's not. Because Buddhism is a religion that you cannot understand by just reading books. You cannot. You know, I remember when I was in Singapore, there was a man. He come up to me. He said to me, "I hope that you are not offended. I've been looking at the different religion. I find that Buddhism is the most confusing religion." I said, "Yes, it's true. What you say is true." I said, "I said you cannot understand Buddhism by just reading the book, because Buddhism you have to apply. Buddhism is a realized religion. You have to put into practice. You don't just believe in the Buddha. The Buddha can't help you. Even you have so much faith in the Buddha, you still suffer. You have to apply the Buddhist the teaching. So the wisdom is come from your life experience. You learn from that. The wisdom is not come from the books. The books is just give us some basic understanding, some basic knowledge about Buddhism. It's just like, so I give him the simile. I say, if you haven't tasted a lemon before, if I keep telling you how's a lemon taste like, do you know how's a lemon taste like? You can only imagine. Unless you taste the lemon, then you know what we are talking about. So Buddhism is a realized religion. You have to realize it yourself through your own experience. So wisdom is not come from the book. It's not the knowledge. Wisdom is come from a life experience. It's just like, for example, the first time you hit the wall, the second time you want to hit the wall again, you don't. This is how we learn, isn't it, from life, you know? So the first time I walked to the left, I walked to the right, and I've fallen into a pit. So the second time, I don't go there anymore. Then you learn. This is where you grow your wisdom. So life is a learning process. So don't regret and get upset or carry the guilt with what we have done in the past. It's already past. We all make mistakes, but we always learn from it. So there is always something we can learn from it. Because that time, our understanding is only there. We can only deal with the situation, you know, with what we know, isn't it? So it's okay. If already passed, don't hold on to the past, you know. So that's like, to develop that, this, you know, to have this positive, you know, to have to really put into practice. You can't just by reading books. You can't get the wisdom from books. It's come from your life experience. And you have to realize it yourself. And with your own wisdom, you solve your problem, you solve your difficulties in life. And I can't solve your problem and you can't solve my problem. Okay? Does that answer your question? Okay. So any more questions or comments? Yes.
I've never done this before, but I've got my own business. I'm a ceiling fixer. And on Thursday, I got told to do this job for the Serbian guy. Uh-huh. And he said, come and do the ceilings. It's all ready to go. Uh-huh. I said, make sure the plastering's all done inside before I put the gyprock up. Uh-huh. And I get there, and the plastering wasn't all done inside, uh-huh. and the plasterers were outside. Mm-hmm. And they said, you're not meant to be here. And I said, yes, I am. The owner said this. I said, I've got a delivery truck coming, and it's $300 in delivery to go all the way down to the Alchemos. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they were bossing me around. They were Afghanistan and Albanian Muslim men. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, look, I've got to work as well. And he said, well, you're not going through this door. You'll have to go through the back door. And I said, no, I can't, because all your cement mixers are there, mm-hmm. and I can't go through that way, and I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And he got really angry with me, and he said, did it, and like he owned the joint. And I said, listen, it's not going to happen. The truck's coming. I'm going to do it. And I more or less nearly got in a fight with him. Mm-hmm. And he was a lot, very bullying me. Mm-hmm. So I turned around. And I don't usually get angry, but I turned around, and I'm an ex-boxer, and I turned around, I wouldn't dare say that to him, but I turned around and said to him, look, you're not going to do this, it's going to be, it's going to take about an hour to load all the sheets inside, and that's it. And then And he just kept pushing and pushing. And in the end, I had to lose it. I had to just yell at him and say, get the way out of the way. Mm-hmm. The truck's here. I'm going through there whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. You're a selfish man. You can finish all the other sides. Mm-hmm. And you were meant to finish all inside, but mm-hmm. you didn't do your job. Mm-hmm. And then he rang up the owner. The owner rang me. And I told him exactly what happened. I said, why have you got these people mm-hmm. on the job? And he said, Paul, they were meant to finish inside. I'm so sorry. And then I said, there you go. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so there is a lot of bullies out there. It's affected me. And mm-hmm. it's affected me even today. I'm still affected about what happened, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that there's people, that selfish people in life mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. how you get away from them. But I did enjoy what you said tonight. Mm-hmm. It was amazing because it's like what's happened recently to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. So it was God saying that I've heard what you've said, and it made sense.
Yeah. That's why sometimes people think that you practice Buddhism and then you just have to, you know, sometimes you can speak out. It doesn't mean that we practice Buddhism. Kindness doesn't mean that we still can hiss. Sometimes I do that because we built the monastery, we have construction, you know, things happen, things is not going to, you know, we have always problems, we have lots of problems. Sometimes people think, oh, this is really nice, actually it was a mistake. We just have to fix the mistake and then it's become a feature, you know. So we try to you know, use kindness and compassion. But sometimes when things is getting, you know, then we say, hey, look, you know, you can't do that. But we still speak in a nice way. I mean, but it's really firm. Sometimes, yes, I'm very firm with the builder. It's things that is not right, you know. But doesn't mean that we have to be stupid because we practice Buddhism and then we have to, you know. Yes, we don't fight, we don't hit others, but we can always hiss. He said, no, you can't do that, you know. And sometimes, you know, I remember, there's one of our upside, he's still working for us. And he's always, yes, remember Hasapanya, your word is my command. You know? Then I said, oh yeah. So he said, because whenever I ask him to do any job, I just smiling and just ask him, oh yeah, you do this and that. You know what he told me? He said, actually, you're more powerful when you're smiling at me and ask me to do work. So I don't dare to not to do it, because if some other people, you know, like, in a very rude way, then actually he's not quite happy. Sometimes he don't do it immediately. But because he said, I'm always set things to him in a nice way. So he said, I always listen and I do it immediately. Because sometimes if other people ask him, it's not in a nice way, then he will say, I never get to China if you move here and then. He said, I want to finish the work and then you ask me to do other things, you know, I never get to China. I said, you don't have to go to China. Why you want to go to China? So, yeah, this is, it's good. Sometimes, like, actually, we don't, if someone rude and someone, you know, being nasty, actually, we don't have to be responsible for their action. So, it's okay. We don't have to argue with them so much.
No, well, I've told the owner, said, I don't want them on the job site when I'm there mm-hmm. and in my face like he did mm-hmm. because it wasn't very nice. It's mm-hmm. really upset me. Mm-hmm. And not just that, just a few comments, what he said, you know, he said, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but mm-hmm. it wasn't very nice. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, when I finish my job, then you can come back and do what you got to do. But mm-hmm. you do have to come back and do a few of the walls, because otherwise it's costing me money on the job. Mm-hmm. And it's just, he was completely rude mm-hmm. and he thought he was really good, especially being Muslim and that. Mm-hmm. And it was quite offensive. It wasn't, you know, I said to mm-hmm. him, mate, Australia is for everybody, mm-hmm. not just for you. You can't just boss us around mm-hmm. and think it's all your job, mm-hmm. you know. You've only been here for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I've been here all my life. Mm-hmm. You know? So I was pretty upset with the whole mm-hmm. issue. And I never, ever want to see him again on the job site. Mm-hmm. It's that It's like the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Mm-hmm. You, when you see these sort of people, you've got to be on the job site with them. It's not nice. They take over everything. You know, so, yeah, it was a really full-on takeover. But I'm going to try and get some peace.
Sometimes, you know, you can just... actually, to me, like I always like I face with difficult people, so I usually just look it in a way that like I sometimes feel grateful because of that person, that because of that I can see my own defilements. You know what I mean? When I react to that, when I got upset, and if not, I think that I'm such a wonderful person, almost perfect. You know what I mean? So that's why sometimes I'm always grateful for that person giving me the opportunities to practice kindness and compassion and also forgiveness. So then be able to forgive others. Because you sometimes keep thinking about that person and go on and on. It's not going to really help us. It's getting nowhere. It's not really benefit us. So it's not that we are weak. We just okay, let it go. You know, you just okay. That I don't have to be responsible for your action. But if I get upset and angry all the time, then I'm the one who suffer. Then I have to be responsible for my own action.
It was just a horrible situation.
Yeah.
When you got a you know, there's $3,500 of material getting dropped on the job.
Yeah.
And then, you know, delivery truck, and he said, you're not going to bring it in here. And I said, it's not your job, and it's ready. And I am going to bring it in here. He goes, no, you're not. And he pointed his finger and doing everything else and acting big and tough. And we're Albanians and Afghanistan. And I thought, oh, my God, there's going to be a fight. And I said, listen, I don't want that. And I still did it. And I had to raise my voice and tell them, look, you know, this is what's going to happen, and whether you like it or not. So I had to stand my ground. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. It's really, really, it's really upset me.
It's good that you still did it and you raised your voice and didn't hurt. Yeah. So it's good.
It is good.
Okay. Any more questions or comments? So no more questions or comments, so that's the end of this talk, okay?